All right, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, verses 37 to 50. Father, we are so grateful that you can share these things with us, that you're going to share with us in your word. Lord, we need your heart. We need to know what you want from us. And we need a timely word today. So, Lord, I pray for your anointing to speak your word to your people today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 9, verses 37 to 50. You're going to love this title. It's Let's Get Ready to Rumble. And for you boxing fans, you're very familiar with this phrase as Michael Buffer stands in the ring just before the bell sounds, giving each boxer the rules of the sport. And as you know, we as Christians, we are in a battle against the devil, and he doesn't fight according to the rules. He is a dirty fighter. And we're going to see some of his moves that he uses and his normal plan of attack. And we need to look into the boxing strategy of Satan so we're not sucker punched when we are not looking. Look at verses 37 to 42. Now it happened on the next day when they had come down from the mountain that a great multitude met him. Suddenly a man from the multitude cried out saying, Teacher, I implore you, look on my son, for he is my only child. Behold, a spirit seizes him and he suddenly cries out. It convulses him so that he foams at the mouth and it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him. So I implore your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him. Then Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and gave him back to his father. Now, in these verses, we see the fighting plan of Satan. We see four ways that he attacks us. Number one, Satan loves to attack us right after we have had a mountaintop experience with the Lord. Remember what took place in verses 27 to 36, how Jesus took Peter, James, and John on top of the mountain and he was glowing. We covered these verses last week. We saw as he was glowing, his divinity was shining forth through his humanity, that Moses and Elijah appeared and talking to him. The Father spoke from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. Peter woke up after seeing all this and just weirded out. But once he came to, he didn't want to leave. He said, this is great. Moses and Elijah, Jesus glowing, the Father speaking from heaven. Let's just build three tabernacles and just hang out here. Let's just stay here. Who wants to go back to the normal hassles of life? Let's just stay right here. But we know the next day they came down the mountain, according to verse 37, and Satan was there waiting on them with a man and a demon-possessed son. He told Jesus in verse 40 that he brought his son to the disciples, but they could not cast the spirit out of his son. And this moves us to fight plan number two. He likes to use our families. The closest people to us, especially our children, like we see in these verses here. Men, pay close attention. He doesn't care who he uses. He will even use our wives. He did with Adam and got him to sin. Genesis 3:17, God said, because you heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree, I commanded you not to eat. And therefore God called Adam on the carpet for that. We see Job's wife in chapter 2, Job 2 verse 9. Says, won't you just curse God and die? In Genesis 16:2, Abraham heeded the voice of his wife and he took Hagar and had a child with her when God clearly told Abraham, it's going to be through Sarah that I'm going to bless your seed. And Sarah said, no, it's going to be through Hagar. So take Hagar. And because Abraham heeded his wife's voice, she had a child named Ishmael. And many conservative scholars believe it is through Ishmael that the Arab nations have come from. And the mess and unrest that is in the Middle East is as a result of it. I wonder if he didn't heed the voice of his wife, would there be the mess in the Middle East that it is today? Probably not. So this was a costly mistake. Now, before you men feel that now you have biblical proof not to listen to your wife, God tells Abraham later on in Genesis 21 verse 12 to listen to the voice of your wife. Now many of you are saying, now how do I know when to listen to her voice and when not to? Well, Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So as you're hearing your wife tell you to do certain things or suggest certain things, see if what she is saying is lining up with the scripture. To see what she is saying is biblical. If it's biblical, you heed her. If it's not biblical, you don't heed her. Now, here's the thing. That means, men, we have to know the word of God. Because how would you know what she's saying is biblical or not? You have to know the scripture. Man, let me ask you, do you know the scriptures? Many of you marvel as Pastor Tito and myself are up here doing questions and answers, and we're just quoting verse after verse after verse. He'll quote a verse, I finish the verse, or I quote a verse, he'll finish it for me. And you wonder, because we know this word, we know this book. Do you know the book? Do you know the Bible? Do you know the Bible, or are you the one that says, you know what it says in that Bible, God help those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. That's Benjamin Franklin said that. Cleanliness is next to godliness. I know it's in them scriptures somewhere in there. No, it's not. That's another quote from Benjamin Franklin. That's not in the Bible. Do you know this book? Do you know this book? Do you know the word of God? Because you will never know whether what she's telling you, it lines up with the scripture unless you know the word for yourself. Do you know the Bible outside of John 3:16? Do you know it outside of Jesus wept, John 11:35? Do you know it beyond that? You will never know whether what she is saying is of the word or not unless you know this book. Or are you just a yes, dear, whatever you want, dear, yes, honey, whatever you want. Because you know she will kick up all kind of mess if you don't heed her voice. Therefore, you just say, yes, dear, yes, dear. You need to know whether what she is saying is lining up with the scripture. That means you need to know this book. Here's the thing. So Satan uses the people closest to us. Oh, you remember when Peter, one of the disciples, one of Jesus' right-hand men, Satan doesn't care who he uses. Remember when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, he says, who do men say that I am? What are the rumors out there about me? I said, well, you know, some say Elijah, you know, one of the prophets. Jesus said, that's cool, but who do you say that I am? Peter stands up. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is like, whoa, man, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter, but my Father in heaven. Surely he was feeling pretty good. Did y'all hear that? And the Father spoke through me. And then all of a sudden, it was like Jesus talking about how he had to go to the cross. Peter, you know, no doubt. Step back, guys. Watch this. Far be it from you, Lord, to go to that cross. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. For you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. He didn't even call him Peter. He addressed Satan working through Peter. He doesn't care who he uses. Oh, we already know about Judas. Closest to him. Get Judas to betray him. In the Old Testament, we have Ahithophel, David's trusted counselor, betrayed him. Just like God uses people to accomplish his purposes, Satan uses people to accomplish his. And he doesn't care who he uses. He uses the people closest to us. And oh, how many of you have had trials and tribulations with your children? He doesn't care who he uses. He's going to get to you. He's going to try to, if he can't get you, then he's going to go to the people closest to you. That's his fight plan, because he doesn't play according to the rules. You can't say, Satan, you know it now. Satan, you know family is off limits. Now, come on, you can do something else, but family is off. He doesn't play by those rules. He will use the people closest to us, especially our children. I told you, children, they can. They swing from either extreme. They can bring you the greatest joy that you've ever seen in your life. And they can turn around and crush your heart into a thousand pieces. Satan doesn't care who he uses. And we see this man had a trial with his child. Something that I want to bring to your attention. I want you to notice who it was that brought this boy to Jesus. Notice that the man did, according to verse 38. Men, we must bring our children to Jesus. But today, so often, we see women. The man is at home with his feet kicked up, watching TV with a six-pack. And the wife is, okay, come on, kids, time to go to church. Is Daddy coming this week? No, he said he wasn't coming. Not coming this week. And the woman has to manipulate, almost bribe him to come. And then when he finally come, he's like this. Sleep. And the women dragging the kids to the church. It was the man who brought this child to Jesus. Not the woman, not the mom. It was the man. See, this is a weird concept for us. We're so used to the woman bringing. That's why the churches today are filled with just women. And why is that? See, Satan, he wants to get us as men not to take our rightful place in the body of Christ and in the home. And so here we see, is the man's responsibility. Ephesians 6:4 says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition or instruction of the Lord. It is our responsibility as fathers to bring our children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's our responsibility. Men, are you carrying out your responsibility? Are you carrying out, or are you trying to just constantly leave it to your wife to do it? Maybe you're dating and you're like, well, you know, that's your responsibility. They ain't my kids, you know. Really? It's our job. It's our responsibility as fathers, as men, to take our rightful place in the home. Now, moms, single moms, if the man is not doing it or is not around to do it, you know you have to do what you got to do. You already know that. But God intended for us, fathers, to do it or to lead the way in the home. Now, you've heard me say many times how I taught my children's scripture and the Bible and all this verses and ABC scriptures and all kind of stuff I taught them. Hey, my wife did a lot of praying with the kids and all kind of stuff she did with the kids. But let me tell you something. I led the way in the home. I led the way. Because I'm not going to leave the spiritual responsibility to my wife when it's my job. I'm not going to let my wife do my job. She got a job. She don't need to do her job and mine too. It's our job as men to do that. And men, if you're not doing it, you're failing your families. Well, you know, I do it again, bring home the bacon. Well, bring home the Bible while you're at it. Because it goes both ways. You got to bring home the bacon and the Bible. And you do a great job. He's hardworking. He's a hardworking man. Great. You should be. But are you just as hardworking in bringing home the Bible and the things of God? Well, I don't quite know the Bible like she does. Well, then get into it so you can know it better than she does. Don't cop out and just say, well, I don't know it quite like she does. I would never say that. I will say it in my heart, oh, she know the word a little bit better than me, then every time she look up, I'm going to be in this Bible because I'm not going to let her outdo me in the word. That's just me. I'm not going to let her outdo me in the, really? No way. My competitive edge wouldn't allow that. She know it better than I do? Oh, no way. I'm going to be in this word. Every time she look up, I'm going to be in this word. Talking to somebody, you know what? My wife said something the other day. I didn't quite understand that. Can you give me the scoop? And then I go back home acting like I'm an expert. Well, you know, the other day you said, but I believe the Bible says. No way. We have to be men of the word. It is our responsibility. I want to show you something else amazing. How this man said in verse 40 that he tried to get the disciples to cast the demon out of the boy. And they could not. Hold up. Wait a minute. Now, in the first verse of this chapter, it said that Jesus gave them power and authority over all demonic spirits. So why is it that they could not cast out this demon? Jesus said in Matthew 17:21 that this kind can only come out but by prayer and fasting. What Jesus is saying is this, the power is there, the authority is given, but we must participate in prayer and fasting in order for this power to be in operation. I've seen this in my own life many times where I have been doing effective ministry. It's happening, things are happening in my own life, but when I start to just slack, put the spiritual car in neutral. Just kind of coast a little bit. Neglect the spiritual disciplines like fasting and prayer. The power and authority that I used to minister in isn't quite there anymore. But when I start to draw closer to the Lord, like James 4:8 says, draw near to the Lord and he'll draw near to you. I see the power return. So Jesus is saying that we must have a normal habit of fasting and prayer because we never know when this kind of demonic spirit will come up and show its ugly face. We have to have a habit. See, it's not like the disciples came down from the mountain. They saw this demon-possessed boy that all of a sudden they just said, okay, Mr. Demon, Can you wait here 1 minute? I'm going to go and fast and pray for a day or so. Then I'm going to come back and deal with you. See, this is the third plan of attack of Satan. He loves to use surprise attacks, sucker punches. How were the disciples to know that they will face this man and his demon possessed son? Here's the thing. They didn't know. This is why fasting and prayer needed to be a part of their lives, because you never know when Satan will come with a surprise attack or a sucker punch. You never know. This is why we need a habit of fasting and prayer, because we never know when Satan is going to come with a surprise attack or try to sucker punch us. I see another plan of Satan in verse 42. Satan loves to, number 4, draw attention to himself. This verse says, as they were coming, the demon threw the boy down and convulsed him. Verse 39 said that he was foaming at the mouth, and Mark's gospel said that his gnashing teeth and his body became rigid and straight. Satan loves to put on a show, showboat, and draw attention to himself. When Satan causes problems in the home, Satan will always want to take his act publicly. Why? For everyone to see. Now, why would he want to do that? For one purpose only. He wants to showboat publicly so you can lose your witness for Jesus Christ. That's why. He wants to take his act through you publicly. So when you fussing and arguing and fighting out in public, then he comes back and whispers, now how can you go and tell other people about Jesus Christ after what you y'all that display y'all just put on? How can you? Satan loves to showboat and show out and draw attention to himself. When I see Christian couples, Christian church people, fussing and cussing and fighting and stuff publicly, I know Satan is behind it. Satan loves to showboat. He loves to. You know why? Because out of all the relationships that man can have on this earth, he has decided to use the marital relationship to show his love for the church. So when we cutting up publicly, fighting and arguing publicly, Satan is like, God, this is how much you love your church. That's why he loves to take his act publicly. This is why when you're in public and all of a sudden you're sensing something is happening. You're like, okay. The proverb says, stop contention before quarrel starts. Okay. All right. Honey, the Bible says stop contention before quarrel starts. Oh, you want to ignore me, huh? You ignoring me? Honey, it says stop contention before quarrel starts. You ignoring me. You just wait. Oh, come to think of it, no, I ain't ignoring you. Satan is behind it. He always wants to take his act publicly to showboat and show out, to rub it in God's face. This is how much you love your church, and for you and for me to lose our witness. He loves to. So always be careful when you're out in public. Be careful. All of a sudden you just sense it stirring up. Honey, what's wrong with you? See, already you blew it right there. Because you know she's stewing over there about something. She's hot. See, kind of smoking. And you know she's hot. And you already know what it is. And you're trying to talk normal and she's giving you those short one answer, nothing. No. I can't believe you really just asked that. Okay. All right, honey. I'll let you cool off. Oh, you're not going to inquire what's wrong with me? Don't you care? I know what's wrong with you. Come to think of it, yeah, last night. And y'all into it in public. And Satan is like, he loves to take his act publicly. So be careful when you're out. Be careful. Always try to have a smile on your face. You can be, honey, you just wait till we get home. Keep a smiling face. Keep a smile. Because Satan loves to showboat and take his act publicly. Look at verses 43 to 45. And they were all amazed at the majesty of God, but while everyone marveled at all those things which Jesus did, he said to his disciples, let these words sink deep down in your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. But they did not understand this saying, that it was hidden from them so that they did not perceive it, and they were afraid to ask him about this saying. Now Jesus was telling them, don't forget why I came. I came to die. Now, he said this because of all the excitement that was around the boy that was healed, and they didn't understand because they once again was thinking of a Messiah that will overthrow the Roman Empire. You remember we talked about this last time. The Jews, they didn't understand some things about the Messiah. They felt that the Messiah was going to come, and they only took those verses in the Old Testament that talk about the Messiah conquering and coming to overthrow the governments when he come. So they said, okay, Jesus is coming, the Messiah is coming, he's going to overthrow Rome and overthrow the Roman Empire. And so when Jesus was talking about dying on the cross, they were like, what are you talking about? Dying? You better get this kingdom thing going. And Jesus said, don't forget why I came. See, Jesus is going to come as a conqueror in his second coming. In his first coming, he's coming as a suffering savior. And so those verses that dealt with the suffering savior, the Jews were like, no, the conqueror. And Jesus said, don't forget why I came. I came to die. I came to die for the sins of mankind. Did you know this is true for us? Don't forget why you're here on this earth. We as Christians, we're here to tell people about Jesus Christ. That's why we're still here. Did you know that? This is the one thing that we can't do in heaven. Many people say, no, we're here to worship God. Hey, we got all eternity to worship God. Well, we're here to sit at the feet of Jesus. We're going to sit at his feet throughout eternity. Now, we do worship. We do sit at his feet and be taught by him. But we're here to tell other people about Jesus. Did you know that's the one thing we can't do in heaven? Is tell lost people about Jesus, that he came to die for their sins. We can't tell people. We only have right now to do that. Don't forget why we're here. You know why I say this? Because so often we get caught up in this materialistic world like everyone else. We get so caught up. We get so caught up in the kids and their sporting events and the recitals and the whatever. Now, like you said, hey, I did the sporting events with my kids. I did the sporting events with my son. I did that stuff. But I didn't forget why we're here. Why are we here? Jesus said, I came to seek and to save the lost. And if Jesus lives in us, that's what we should be doing as well. I don't think many of you know why you're here. Why are you on this earth? Why did God create you? Why did God allow for you to be? So you can just be caught up in the rat race of life? So you can just work from sun up to sundown and come home and watch TV until you fall asleep and wake up and do it all over again. And you do it day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Really? Is that when God said, okay, I'm going to create so-and-so. You put your name there. And the purpose I have for them is to go to work, eat, watch TV, and go to bed. Do you think that's what God had in mind when he created you and allowed for you to be born? There's some aborted babies that's not here. Why did he allow you to be born? Do you know your purpose in life? If the Lord came to me when I was a teenager and said, Tony, I got something to tell you. Yes, Lord. I'm listening. I'm going to call you to ministry and you're going to be a pastor of a large church. You're going to be seen and listened to around the world. And many, many people are going to come to know the Lord and an understanding of who I am through you. I would have laughed in his face. I would have laughed right in God's face. I'd be like, God, you're funny. That's a good one. I was like, are you serious? After I laughed and saw God's face was like this. And I'd be like, you're serious, aren't you? Me? No way. When I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, he put those desires in me and I'm doing what I'm doing because this is the purpose he has for my life. Do you know your purpose? Do you know why you're here? Many of you don't. You haven't started to live until you live for the purpose God created you for. You said, no, I've been alive for 3, 4, 5, 6 decades. You've been alive physically. But have you been alive with the purpose God called you for? I don't even think many of you know why you're here. Are you here just to build a house, paint a room, fix a car, sleep, find out who you're going to marry next, when you're going to get out of this marriage? Is that why you are here? I don't think you know your purpose. And Jesus had to remind his disciples why he was here. And so to it, you need to be reminded of why you're here. And I believe some of you need to begin to search your own heart and begin to ask the Lord, why did you make me? Why did you allow me to be here? Why is it that I'm here and my friend is gone? Why is it that I'm here and my brother and sister is not here anymore? Why is it that I'm still here? You allow for me to be here. What is your purpose for me? And I believe you need to be reminded of that. Because Jesus had to remind his disciples. Look at verses 46 to 48. Then a dispute arose among them as to which of them would be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their hearts, took a little child and set him by him. And he said to them, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all will be great. Now, Jesus was just telling them that he was going to the cross. He was telling them his purpose. And now they are disputing over who would be the greatest in the kingdom. This shows that they thought that Jesus would usher in the kingdom shortly. Then Jesus said in verse 48, he who is least of you will be the greatest. This is just the opposite of the world's mentality. The world says if you want to be great, you must exalt yourself, promote yourself, push your way to the top, and it doesn't matter who you step on to get there as long as you get there. That's the world's mentality. But Jesus comes along and said the greatest one is the one who humbles himself like a little child. How are you getting to the top of where you are right now? How are you getting there? God's way through humility or your way through self-promotion? You know, I got to get out there. I got to get my name out there. You know, people don't know me yet, so I got to get my name out there. Really? That's the world's way. Psalm 75, 6 and 7, the word says, promotion neither comes from the east or from the west or from the south. It comes from the Lord. God is judge. He puts one down and exalts another. Let's seek to do things God's way. When you try to promote yourself, get yourself out there. You know, I got to get myself out there. You know, people don't know me yet. Oh, it's an old saying we have within Calvary Chapel. It's what you do to gain, you got to do to maintain. If you striving to get yourself out there, well, then once you get there, then you got to maintain that on your own. But if you humble yourself and allow God to put you there, then God will keep you there. So many people I know have tried to exalt themselves, and then once they got there, they were not ready for the power and the position of that particular job that they were looking at. They're not ready for it. They promoted themselves, and now they're there. You've seen people who just power, they're just out of control. It corrupts them absolutely. And that power corrupts them because, you know why? Because they were not ready to be exalted to that position that they self-promoted themselves to get to. When we humble ourselves, then God will exalt us. That's why the Bible says in the book of Matthew, Matthew 23:12, it says, if we humble ourselves, he will exalt us. But if we exalt ourselves, we will be humbled. James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Whoever exalts himself is going to be humbled. Whatever position you're trying to seek, if you just humble yourself like a child, God will exalt you in his time. You're not exalted there because it's not your time. You're not ready for it. God will prepare us for the exaltation that he has for us. And when we self-promote ourselves up there too soon, then we end up sabotaging that position. You've seen where folks got it promoted to certain, and they were not ready for that. They got demoted. No, you weren't ready for that. Go on back down to the shop. You're not ready. But when you humble yourself, God is speaking to somebody. When you humble yourself, he will exalt you. There's people around you telling you, you need to go ahead. You need to promote yourself. You need to get out there. You need to, you know, hey, so what? You step on them to get there, but don't you get there. I'm here to tell you, you're going to sabotage the position once you get there. Some of you are promoting yourself right now because you feel that whatever it is that you're trying to go, you have to get yourself there. No, you don't. No, you don't. And you don't have to lie on your resume either. You were a janitor. No, I was a custodian engineer. Really? Really? That's what you're a janitor. You don't have to embellish the story. You don't have to lie and exaggerate to get yourself there. No. 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 God is speaking to somebody right now about that. Whatever it is that you're trying to promote yourself to get there, you're going to sabotage it. You're not, God won't let you get there. He will sabotage you. And I'm never, everybody else is getting promoted. Everybody else is getting, you know, presented. Except me. That attitude shows why. Why? It's not you. It's not your time. It's not your time. Humble yourself and God will lift you up. Look at verses 49 and 50. Now John answered and said, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name and we forbid him because he does not follow with us. But Jesus said to him, do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side. Now here are the disciples doing something that we all either have done or are doing. They forbid this man from casting out demons because he didn't follow after us. Either they said this out of pride or jealousy. Either way, it wasn't right. And Jesus rebuked them for it in verse 50. He says, he is on our side. He is for us. He said, we're fighting the same fight against Satan and his demons. He said, because he don't follow us. So what? So what? Here's the point. Don't be so quick to judge someone from another church because they don't quite do things like we do. So what? Yes, they want to be in church 3 and 4 hours. So what? Let them do that. I'd be at home, you know. Let them do that. If that's what they want to do, amen. God bless them. Sure. And I'm not talking about if somebody's teaching false doctrine, false teaching, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just doing things just a little bit differently. They want to, you know, have ushers with white gloves on and all that kind of thing. Amen. Okay, God bless them. They're not having a hell situation. They got their white gloves on. They want to hand behind the back. They want to use the magic finger. Okay, amen. Amen. Let them do their thing. Let them do their thing. That's them. That's them doing that. But so often we think that we, you know, every church, you know, we're the ones doing it right. We got it right. We got the market on how to do church. No. If that was the case, then we'd all be one church. We're not all one church because we do things a little bit differently. And that's okay. There's different people, different temperaments, different ways of doing things. Amen. It's okay. Let them do their thing. Don't get all in your feelings. They doing stuff that they don't come to our church. So what? So what? Who cares? That's what Jesus basically said in the Tony Clark translation. He said, so what? Who cares? Yeah, basically, that's what he said. Let me wrap it up with this. The question is, are you ready to rumble? And I hope so, because Satan likes to fight us in four ways. Number one, after mountaintop experiences, after we've had a great time with the Lord, either in church or at home, he loves to come after mountaintop experiences. Number two, he uses our families. Oh, yes, he does. He uses surprise attacks or sucker punches. And number four, he loves to draw attention to himself. Keep in mind that we're ready by having a lifestyle of prayer and fasting and daily meditating on the word of God. You start neglecting these things and Satan will sucker punch you. You wouldn't understand if you're fighting with your spouse or family member. You wouldn't understand it. You wouldn't understand these things because when you neglect the word of God, prayer, fasting, and all that sort of stuff, you will be knocked out by the enemy. Because these things, they prepare us for whatever Satan brings our way. When we are prepared, then we will look for him after we have had a mountaintop experience. We will look for him when the family is out of control. We're like, oh, okay. Okay, things are kind of crazy around here. You look for Satan. We will see his surprise attacks and And when he tries to stir things up publicly, we will see right through his tactics. Okay, Okay. I see where this is going. Nope. I'm not doing it. Not in public. You wait till we get home though, but not in public. We're not going to do it. So as it has been said many times in matches and boxing matches around, oh, Michael Buffer, let's get ready to rumble. You need to be ready because this week Satan is going to come with one or all four of these attacks. And if you're not ready, you will be knocked out. Next week, we see you come through the door, black eye. We're like, what happened to you? Satan got me. He got me this week. I wasn't prepared. And you got a spiritual black eye. And you'll be limping in here. You walk back, but you're going to limp in. And either way, Satan's got you. Let us be prepared for the attacks that's going to come our way. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank you for your grace that abounds toward us. Dear God, we just pray that you will move in our hearts and in our lives today. Draw us to you. Lord, there are many people that are in spiritual battles today. And Lord, I pray that we will be a people prepared this week for the attacks of the enemy. And Lord, I just pray for those who don't know their purpose. They don't know why they're here. Lord, may they come and surrender their life to you and walk in the purpose that you have for their lives. Draw people unto you today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.